Life provides the gifts if we know where to look, replied the old woman. I am glad that you have returned and that your journey was good, said Forgets-Nothing. Your dog, I call him Wolf Eyes, is so big and strong that some want to have him.
I know, replied the old woman.
I thank you for keeping him. Elk hides, buffalo robes, and good fortune are very fine things to have. Many would have traded a dog. A great warrior, a heartbroken girl, and a powerful holy man all have strong need of the dog. But you have strength of mind. You honored your promise to me. I am grateful.
How is it that you know? Forgets-Nothing was astonished.
It only matters that I know. I also know that few people have your strength of mind. Others would have traded the dog for the fine things that were offered, and then told me that the dog wandered away. Life will reward you for that. From her bundle, she took a long wooden vial and gave it to Forgets-Nothing. For your foot, she said. Rub it on every day. It is a salve made from the ankle bones of the pronghorn antelope. As we know, they are the fastest runners on the flatlands. The ankles are thin, but very, very strong. Good Voice stayed the night in the lodge of Forgets-Nothing and Corn Woman. Forgets-Nothing awoke at dawn and was not surprised to see the old woman's bed empty. The dog, too, was gone. She spent the day going about her chores with a feeling of emptiness. That evening, she rubbed the salve on her ankle before she went to sleep. More empty days passed. She missed the dog and his inquisitive stare, but she also missed the old woman, especially when she noticed the stiffness in her ankle seemed not as bad. One evening, Forgets-Nothing went to watch the dancing, but stood at the outside edge of the dancing circle, envying all who could dance. She kept to the shadows as she always did, because she did not want people to see that she walked with a limp. Like a sudden cold rain, a feeling of loneliness fell upon her as she watched several couples do the long, winding snake dance, side by side, hand in hand. The drums pounded like a heartbeat, like the soft rhythm of life itself. Forgets-Nothing saw couples who had eyes only for each other as they danced, and felt herself outside the flow and the rhythm. Grandmother, she said, talking to Good Voice in her mind, perhaps I should have asked if you had a husband for me in your bundle. In a moment, she turned away from the dancing and walked slowly back to her own lodge. She was at her fire outside the lodge the next morning when a figure stopped before her, blocking the low rays of the morning sun. I have just arrived, said a low, deep voice. I would gladly give you all this meat if you would cook but one meal for me. Forgets-Nothing shaded her eyes to look at the stranger. He was tall with inquisitive eyes. His shoulders were wide, and on his drag poles was a carcass of a freshly killed deer. If you cut up the meat, I will cook it for you, she replied. The man went to work. Forgets-Nothing could see he was not much older than she, and his face was strong and pleasant. She built up her fire as Corn Woman emerged from the lodge. Mother, she said, we have fresh meat. This young man was kind enough to bring it. The young man stood to acknowledge Corn Woman, and Forgets-Nothing gasped as she noticed a small bundle tied around his neck. Its edges were quilled in blue. Soon the smell of roasting meat floated about as Forgets-Nothing carefully tended to cooking. The young man finished cutting up the meat and hung the pieces on the racks next to the lodge. Now and then, Forgets-Nothing glanced at the bundle around his neck. It was exactly like the one around the neck of the old woman's dog. I will go to the river and wash, said the young man.
When you return, the meat will be ready, replied Forgets-Nothing. She noticed he walked with a slight limp. He had neatly laid aside the drag poles next to his weapons and his large bundle.
He does not yet have a wife, observed Corn Woman, to which Forgets-Nothing could only stay silent, but her heart was pounding. Before long he returned, and a skewer of meat was waiting for him. He sat and politely waited.
Have you an injury? asked Forgets Nothing. You are limping a little.
It is nothing, only a thorn through the sole of my foot, he replied. Someone removed it for me.
Have you come far?
Yes, he said. I have been traveling for many, many days. I have never been here to this part of the country, so I was lost.
Where are you going?
Wherever life takes me, he answered, smiling. You have many questions.
Yes, it forgets nothing, and I have another.
Who are your people, and what is your name?
He smiled again.
I believe I am from the White Wolf Band. My parents were killed when I was very young, and so I was taken and raised by my aunts and several grandmothers. I have a name, but I do not remember how it was given to me. My name is Wolf Eyes. What is yours?
Walking on Grandmother's Road. Grandmothers in every Native American culture, and known less among us Lakota, are the epitome of all the virtues we strive to learn and practice. One virtue they epitomize best of all is fortitude. At a powwow in the 1970s, I sat behind my paternal grandmother and another of my grandmothers, Nancy Whitehorse. I was engrossed in her conversation about grandchildren and their stories with the people who had passed on since the last powwow. Grandma Nancy noticed I was listening and beckoned for me to lean closer. For reasons unclear to me at that moment, she said, "If you want to go far in life, walk Grandmother's Road." Fortitude is Grandmother's Road. I know now that if we Lakota had not walked Grandmother's Road, that moment with those two grandmothers at the powwow would not have been possible. The demise of the bison, Tatanka, and the overwhelming encroachment of Euro-Americans were the two primary factors that ended our free-roaming life as nomadic hunters. The bison were decimated purposely, and the onslaught of Euro-Americans could not be stopped. Consequently, a lifestyle hundreds, if not thousands of years old, came to an end almost overnight. We found ourselves confined to reservations where we not only had geographic limitations to contend with, but also an intensive effort to tear our culture away from us. We were to become farmers, learn the virtues of hard labor, and turn into productive citizens. In the process, our spiritual beliefs were ridiculed and reviled. The new ways were not easy, and though a few of us did sincerely embrace them and change, most of us were reluctant. We could not resist militarily, so the only viable option was to go through the motions and make the best of the situation. We had to find a way to resist that would not bring repercussions. The only option was to walk Grandmother's Road. Historians, sociologists, and anthropologists look at this period between 1890 and 1940 as merely a time of change. From the viewpoint of the government, the savage Lakota had been tamed and a concentrated effort was underway to civilize him. No one, as far as I know, took a close look at the emotional and societal effects of change within the Lakota community. If anyone had, it would have been discovered that women were in the forefront of a new order. Traditionally, women were the focal point of family, the comforters and nurturers, around whom family life revolved. That role didn't change. Instead, it became even more critical. Women didn't usurp the male's role as head of the family. They were too wise to take away the only responsibility men had left. During one of the most difficult periods in Lakota history, women fulfilled their ancient societal role and saved their culture. They held their families together, in spite of the sad fact that children were taken away to boarding schools. A woman who was taken away as a very young child to a missionary boarding school remembers lamenting to her mother that no one was permitted to speak Lakota. The dormitory matrons had sharp ears and were quick to severely punish any child caught breaking the rule. The woman's mother gave a bit of simple advice that symbolized an undercurrent of quiet resistance. "Whisper," she said.